Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
May be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you know that several weeks ago when I was down in Austin walking on the UT campus, I tripped over a section of sidewalk that had shifted, and I fell. And it was a somewhat spectacular fall. At first, I stumbled several steps as I tried to recover my balance, but ultimately, I hit the ground pretty hard, with my laptop backpack and my coffee cup going out flying down the sidewalk in front of me. Although I only skinned my right arm and leg, that experience came to my mind, as perhaps your own experiences came to yours, when hearing what today's gospel reading said, both about someone's falling on the rejected cornerstone and being broken to pieces, and about the rejected cornerstone's falling on someone and crushing him or her. This morning we reflect on today's gospel reading under the theme, the rejected cornerstone. For today's gospel reading, we have moved forward in St. Luke's divinely inspired gospel account to what we call Holy Week, after the Jewish leaders and Jesus had disputed about his and John the Baptizer's authority. In the presence of and against the Jewish leaders, Jesus told the people what is called the parable of the wicked tenants, who increasingly mistreated the servants of the patient owner of the vineyard that he had sent to them, and ultimately killed his son. When the Jewish leaders reacted with surprise to the parable, Jesus spoke about the rejected cornerstone. And when the Jewish leaders had heard that warning also, they still wanted to turn Jesus over to the authority of the governor instead of repenting, as the parable and the subsequent warning regarding the rejected cornerstone had called them to do. Even though the number of rigs currently drilling for oil and gas in the United States reportedly has fallen to its lowest levels since at least 1940, most of us in East Texas probably still have at least some understanding of how land is leased, but mineral rights are retained. In some ways, the letting out of a vineyard to tenants was similar, with the owner collecting either a fixed amount or a share of the production. In the case of the parable of the wicked tenants, the vineyard apparently was producing fruit, but the wicked tenants were selfishly keeping all the proceeds to themselves, foolishly thinking that they could somehow get the vineyard away from its owner. The parable does not necessarily apply to you in the same way that it applies to me, just as it didn't apply to the people listening to it in the same way that it applied to the Jewish leaders. But we all can still consider whether or not we are producing fruit. Fruit such as sorrow over our sin, fruit such as faith that trusts God to forgive that sin, and at least the desire to do better than to keep on sinning. We all can consider how we treat the servants the owner of the vineyard sends. And we all can consider whether or not we fall on the rejected cornerstone and whether or not the rejected cornerstone falls on us. As St. Paul writes to the Philippians in today's epistle reading, we all have no righteousness of our own that comes from the law. But any righteousness we are to have must come through faith in Christ and depend on faith in Christ. An account of our sinful nature and our actual sin, we deserve to be destroyed, as the wicked tenants deserved to be destroyed. If we, like the builders, reject the cornerstone, we fall on it and are broken to pieces. or it falls on us and crushes us. Even if the parable of the wicked tenants does not necessarily apply to you in the same way that it applies to me, we all need to heed the parables and the subsequent warnings call to repent. For when we repent, as God calls and enables us to do, then God forgives our sinful nature and our actual sin. God forgives our sinful nature and our actual sin for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. The parable and the subsequent warning regarding the rejected cornerstone certainly can be used by the Holy Spirit as law that curbs sin, that reflects sin, and that shows believers how to live. Yet the Holy Spirit can also use the parable and the subsequent teaching regarding the rejected cornerstone as gospel to show us our Savior from sin. Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God, the Son of the Father as the owner or Lord of the vineyard, which son the Jewish leaders, as the wicked tenants, killed. Jesus is the stone on whom those would-be builders rejected, the stone who has become the cornerstone. If we do not fall on him or have him fall on us, that is to say, if we put our faith in him, then we are built up into the church that is built on him. For in the background of today's gospel reading are God's Old Testament promises, repeated elsewhere in the New Testament, promises about believing in the rejected cornerstone and so not being put to shame. In the parable, Jesus essentially claimed to be God the Father's Messiah, and he showed the Jewish leaders that he was aware of their seeking to destroy him. And he further prophesied of his death on the cross for the Jewish leaders, for all of those people, and for you and for me. The unrepentant Jewish leaders eventually did deliver Jesus up to the authority of the governor, and Jesus submitted to him and to his authority, dying on the cross for us. We who repent receive the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross through his word and his sacraments. Perhaps you and I have already inherited, or perhaps we stand to inherit, something from a relative or friend in this life. While Jesus is the Son and heir of the kingdom of God, God makes us his brothers and sisters, and so co-heirs with him of the kingdom. At the baptismal font, we are adopted as God the Father's children and so made inheritors of his kingdom, namely the riches of the eternal life that he pours on us, the forgiveness of sins, and so salvation. As the water imagery in today's psalm and in today's Old Testament reading suggest, the water of holy baptism affects God's call and his appointment to our salvation. As we who are baptized continue to sin, we privately confess to our pastor the sins that particularly trouble us for the sake of individual holy absolution. So absolved, we are admitted to the sacrament of the altar, where we eat bread that is Christ's body and drink wine that is his blood for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In all these ways, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper, God builds us up on Christ Jesus, the rejected cornerstone, and on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And so in Jesus, the whole structure, being so joined together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord. The temple that is Christ's church, the vineyard of the Lord, given to other tenants, returns to the Lord, the first fruits of what he has given us. Contrition, faith, and at least a desire to do better than to keep on sinning, but also other good works. Good works that show God's love to those that he has placed around us. maybe even including in some small way, helping people in our community clean up after the heavy rain and flooding of this past week. Perhaps if I had paid more attention to where I was walking several weeks ago when on the UT campus, I would not have tripped over a section of sidewalk that had shifted. And instead of falling, I would have stepped onto the sidewalk and so been, in a sense, built up upon it. Certainly the Lord God intends for us and enables us to be built upon Christ Jesus, our rejected cornerstone, putting our faith in him and bringing forth the fruits of that faith. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, the Lord has formed us for himself so that now and for eternity, we might declare his praise. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.